All right. Oh, there we go. Killer Ants. Is that the movie? I think that's the movie. I think that's the one that I was talking about earlier. Have you guys been researching this the whole time while we've been doing the show? Wow, it took them a full hour to find it. But it was called like Marabotu or something. No. They're seriously, like
Marabotu.
No, I'm telling you, I'm making this up. You don't make me think I'm crazy, Leanne. Don't gaslight me. Marabuntu. Let me just look this up.
Is it South African?
Killer Ants. I'm telling you, no, it wasn't South African. Ah, Marabunta. There you go.
There you go.
Okay, put that picture up. Marabunta, Killer Ants. Oh my God. What a crap movie. There we go. Look.
How the hell do you remember that?
Leanne, I don't. That's where you have to look it up.
Doesn't even cross my memory. I've never seen that in my life.
It was such a bad movie. Marabunta. Yes, it was great.
I recognize the actors.
It was made in 1998 for TV. It was a made-for-TV horror. So they had like a budget of 500 rand.
How do you remember that? What crap.
It's so great. The Legion of Killer Ants, Marabunta.
I mean, Sharknado, I would remember forever, but not that.
I never watched Sharknado. I couldn't bring myself.
No, I didn't watch it. Just remember people's obsession.
Well, I know everybody's actually only coming for the which dog breed could kill a wolf or take on a wolf segment. That is the whole reason that you're here. You don't have to lie to me. So let's get into it. I know my dog would be useless at any fight with any other dog. In fact, spaniels like little Alice probably would, if someone
she would audibly yelp and run in the opposite direction.
If someone came to murder me, she'd go up with her tail wag. she wouldn't know. In Alice's world, nothing bad ever happens. Nothing. It's amazing. Sweet. All right. So let's go. What do we got?
Okay.
Guys, have James, we got pictures of these things?
Yeah, there we go.
Are those all the dogs that could those take on a wolf?
These are the 15
yeses.
Dog breeds that defeat a wolf.
Some beautiful dogs there. Is that a ridgeback somewhere in the middle there?
No ridgeback.
Oh.
But interestingly enough, there is a South African breed in there.
Burbul.
There you go.
Daze.
Daze Lakasur.
Now, that is a great dog. What a great dog.
Kiktai Vanga.
I love that dog. All right, cool. So Burbul's obviously among them.
Yes.
Go on.
That one, I think I'd run in the opposite direction and yelp.
That's an incredible dog. What is it?
I shall tell you.
Beautiful.
It's a Tibetan Mastiff.
I love it.
Absolutely stunning. One of the most ancient and revered guardian breeds.
I know what those are.
Yes, you do. Rob Vemba used to have them, in fact.
What are they called, man?
They're taller.
Not a Great Dane.
Perception is that, yes, Great Danes are the biggest dogs, but these are actually them, and you'll remember now Irish Wolfhounds.
Oh, Irish Wolfhound, right.
But now,
good old hunting dog from the Middle Ages.
Good hunting dog, but more like, I wouldn't expect them to take down a wolf. They don't seem meaty enough. They're very tall and long.
Oh, no, but they're very strong, and they're fast as hell, too. Great dogs. All
Amazing.
Right, lovely. I like all of these.
And then this is one that I wouldn't have expected.
Aww.
How cute is that face?
Aww. What is that?
That's the Great Pyrenees.
Oh, what a nice dog.
Good
boy.
Good mountain dog. Majestic and gentle giant with a history of guarding livestock in the Pyrenees Mountains. So
amazing.
Very calm, affectionate, protective, but with the strength and courage to fend off wolves. Their thick double coat provides protection from bites and cold weather, giving them an edge in confrontations.
What a lovely dog.
So a wolf can bite into that, but those teeth ain't going to sink in.
Okay, great. What else? Go on.
No, that's, well, I mean, that.
I can see some others there. You're not going to tell us about them. They get like second billing. All right.
Let's take a look at that one, the second one.
Second one, the one in the snow?
Yes.
All right, well, there are a couple of them in the snow there.
That is the Caucasian Shepherd.
Oh, wow, as opposed to the Black Shepherd.
Yes. The Caucasian Shepherd, also known as is also known as the Caucasian of Charka.
Okay.
From the Cork, Caucasus Mountains.
Yeah, Caucasus Mountains.
Yeah. Weighing up to 200 pounds, another livestock and property protector. Aggressive when necessary, incredibly loyal. And again, thick fur, but very muscular.
Right, just like Caucasians.
Thick fur and very muscular.
I don't know. I mean, you haven't had dogs for a while, huh?
No, I haven't.
Because you got cats.
But,
and
but my family's, I have a niece.
No, you love dogs. Yeah, I know.
He's a Spaniard.
I don't know how many people think about, unless you live on, you know, a property where you've got lots of space, you don't really want a big dog like that because they, I mean, they need a range.
Yes.
And they get very bored very quickly if they only have a limited amount of space. And most people are living in limited space, let's face it. So you can't keep a Pyrenees mountain dog in your 100 square meter flat.
Yeah.
Right?
I always feel sorry for the classic sheepdogs that you would normally see
running,
herding sheep in enormous fields at great speeds.
Yeah.
And then you see them being walked around Parkhurst, you know?
All right. Well, there we go. So now you know, everybody. By the way, I saw the funniest video this morning. And guys, maybe you can try and find a clip of this, of the village people. I showed Leanne. You know, the village people who did YMCA? Like that song was already out before we were born, I think, or certainly when we were very young. I mean, it's like, it's old. The village people must be in their 80s. And Donald Trump invited them on stage to do YMCA because, you know, famously there's that, I think, how does he go?
Yes, like he's got a towel.
Yeah. Bill Maher always jokes that he's jerking off two guys because he goes like this.
Yes.
So the YMCA village people, and they went on stage at his, he did like a victory rally in Washington, D.C. I think it's just pretty funny because people always think that he's, you know, this tremendously conservative guy, and they forget that he was a Democrat in New York for most of his life. And he has very little problem with, you know, people who don't fall into the norm, and the YMCA has become like a gay anthem, and Trump doesn't give a damn about that. He's like, he's cool with it.
Quite interestingly, they were active from 1977.
Wow. Okay. So they're that old.
But now listen, those ones that you see are not the originals.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you why.
Are they dead?
The members, there are always 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's an ant on this microphone. Which
Marabunta.
You see, this is how it starts. An ant. This is how it starts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 members. There it is. Oh my gosh. See what you've
there's
done.
There's a reason this came up this morning, Leanne.
See,
they're coming to get you.
So there's
they're going to carry you away in your sleep.
6 current members. Guess how many past members?
How many? She's counting. She's actually counting.
20.
No, they're 20. Oh, wow. So it's
I don't think we're dealing with the originals. It's maybe one or two.
It's a revolving door. Here we go. Look. There he is. You got to love that guy. I mean, come on.
See how young they are.
There we go. Look at him. Oh, that's great. Oh, you got that off TikTok, which apparently he's already reversing the decision, and TikTok is available in America and certain places already. But isn't that great? I mean, dancing on the stage, like, that's already cooler than like Joe Biden, who couldn't even stay on a bicycle or walk straight in a line or figure out where the steps were already.
I'm sorry. I feel hugely embarrassed watching him dancing. He can't dance.
But it is
no
funny.
Rhythm.
Oh, come on. You don't have no problem with,
you
no, have
it's
a problem with,
it's
you didn't, you don't have a problem with Madiba doing his old shuffle, but you have a problem with Trump doing his horrible
Madiba
dance.
Madiba did it in time.
Oh, come on.
Fuzz.
Oh, come on. You just, you got Trump derangement syndrome. That's what you do.
TDS.
I've got a pill for that. Hang on. Find it.
Tedious. Tedious.
It is. It's tedious to have TDS. You got to get over that. we've got a lot to talk about this morning. One of the other things that came up, and by the way, you can join us in the comment section. We want to hear from you. Tell us what you're up to. We were going to have Rob Hursov in here. He's in Joburg and he was going to come and see us, but he sent me a message at like 5:30 this morning that there's something he's dealing with and he won't be able to make it. It would have been fun because we would have talked about everything except politics, but we'll get him in at a later stage. He's always fun to talk to. Rob, of course, is an entrepreneur and investor. He's known for his no hold back comments on pretty much everything. Yeah. He's like tight with Gaten McKenzie and he has lots to say about the government and national unity, but he's also involved in helping a lot of small businesses and medium-sized businesses in South Africa. So he's got a nice view on how to get ahead in South Africa. There was this ridiculous thing that I think Park Stau, who was the mayor of Johannesburg.
Yes.
Have you heard what he said?
No.
He reckons they must tax businesses another 3% and then use that money as like a BEE fund.
Oh, okay.
So the businesses that are making money, and it's hard to make money in South Africa. Mm. It really is. It's very, very tough to do this. I don't think you'll meet any businessman who goes, oh, please, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
It's really bloody hard. Now he wants to, Park Stau, take another 3% in corporate tax, business tax, because it's not just corporations that get nailed by this. It's small and medium enterprises who are the biggest employers in the country. They must now pay an extra 3%, according to him, to government so that they can set up some fund, which we know is going to just enrich all their friends, right? Like that's what BEE's done. It's helped very few people in business.
I don't understand because BEE, the whole concept in itself is helping.
No, it hasn't.
Those people.
Yeah, it's helped their friends.
And
people like our president. Now they want to take, our president was the chief and foremost beneficiary of BEE, our president. I mean, this is not a guy who would have been able to start these businesses on his own. BEE made Cyril rich, okay? And it made a couple of other people, a handful, you can name them. Tokyo Sekhwale. You know, there are a bunch of people who were all connected to the ANC who got very rich very quickly. But the average black business person in this country is in just the same position they were in before BEE. It's as hard as it can possibly be. They never get any of this trickle-down stuff that the ANC is always talking about. And now they want to fine people. That's what it is. Mm. It's holding a gun to people's heads and saying, if you don't pay more tax, we'll arrest you. It's ridiculous. This is parasitic, and we should just not tolerate this crap. We talked about Javier Milei earlier from Argentina. He wants to cut 90% of the existing taxes in Argentina. Jeez. And he reckons they only need 10% of what they're currently taking in to run the government. Because you can fire most of those people in government. And we should take a leaf out of his book. But of course we won't. We should, though. I don't know why I went down that, because that was something I wanted to talk to Rob Hursov about. Anyway, we got other stuff on. James is going to give us some sport just now. While we're talking about Johannesburg and Park Stau, who used to be the mayor. So we're not the only country with potholes. I know that we like to think that Joburg is the only city that ever existed.
Like load shedding, we believe.
It was just us.
We think that nobody else in the world knows what it is.
No, absolutely. But there's a place called Pont Fadog. I'm trying to link it to the dog discussion we had earlier, but it's not working. It's called Pont Fadog. It's in Wrexham in England. They turned their pothole-ridden road into a humorous tourist attraction. They called it Pothole Land and made it like a – look at this. They made it like a something exciting that you could visit. Like
Potholy Land.
Here we go. Take a look. Pothole Land. Isn't that great? They put up a sign. And then you can see there are pictures of all the roads.
Oh,
that's a bad road, right?
Yeah. Is that even a pothole? It's a bad road.
It's terrible. But it is funny. So they say we have the deepest, longest, widest potholes in all of Wales.
That is a long pothole.
The move, which is aimed at drawing attention to the road's poor conditions, prompted the council to begin repairs, although many potholes remain only partially filled. That sounds familiar. Locals, including a farmer who's struggling to navigate the road, expressed frustration. Oh, I am so angry. You can imagine a Welsh farmer. I am very angry with this government.
Is he also the only gay in the village?
Well, he's Yeah, maybe. I mean, who knows? The farmers in Wales, you can never tell. Repairs have started and residents fear bad weather will undo the progress. Oh, such bad weather.
Well, that's the problem there, isn't it? Are we going to get
through this? What?
It's continuously raining. Yeah, well, how do you get to fix these
things? We had 2 weeks of nonstop rain in Johannesburg, and we couldn't stop complaining, right? Imagine living in, like, southern Wales, nonstop rain all the time. Anyway, who was coughing just now? James, is that your flex? Jesus, what's going on there? Have you got pleurisy? I think he's on his. I think James is on his way out. Everybody, I think he's. He coughed. Did you hear that just now?
I didn't. No,
it sounded like a tractor engine.
I must have been hyper focused.
Do you vape, James? I know you smoke, but do you vape? Okay. How embarrassing. It sounded like popcorn lung.
This is James's last sport.
It's James's last sport. Come and sit down, James, before you die. So popcorn lung.
Popcorn lung doesn't sound like that. Popcorn lung is when there are small crackles.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
As you're breathing.
That's what it sounded like. It went at the end. It had like a death rattle in it. So I told you I bought that one vape at New Year.
Yeah.
And it's still going. I can't bring myself to vape like continuously, and it certainly was like a one-off thing for me. Didn't like the way I felt the morning after. So you know that song, Black Hole Sun?
Yes, you had a black hole lung.
I had popcorn lung, won't you come?
Oh, no.
It was terrible. So here he is for the last time before he dies of some lung-related disease.
That's hectic.
Here's producer James.
Hello.
Hello, James. So what happened?
Lots of sport this weekend.
No, actually. I mean with your lung.
Oh, I've just been fighting a demon quite a lot.
Really? A demon?
Week or so, yeah.
What happened? Is Marabantu, killer ants, Marabunta. What is it? I can't even remember what it is.
Marabantu.
Marabuntu, killer ants.
I can't even
ants.
Laugh because it aggravates my popcorn lung. It's quite bad, actually. I hate not being able to laugh, so...
So what, have you really got something? Are you sick with something?
I am a little bit sick, yeah. I was off last week for like a day.
Leanne couldn't move further to her side of the sofa.
That's why I'm sitting all the way over here.
All right, so tell us what's happening in the world of sport. You're not here for your health. We're not here to talk about your health.
So there's quite a lot of football this weekend. The CAF Champions League took place. Pirates, they remain unbeaten after winning in Egypt against Al Ahly. They topped their group going into the knockout stage of the CAF Champions League. Sundowns, they also joined them in the knockouts after finishing second in their group behind AS Far. The Premier League happened this weekend.
Yes.
Liverpool winning ways.
Now, after your terrific and historic win against Accrington Stanley, what did Liverpool win this time? Who did they beat this time?
We terrifically and historically beat Brentford 2-0.
Okay. Well, Brentford, not as great as Accrington Stanley.
No.
I really feel that was that was peak. Starting the year on the right foot stuff.
That's as good as it gets this season for us. Yeah, we could win any trophy, but the Accrington Stanley game was top quality. We beat Brentford 2-0, top of the log still. We love Arsenal. They drew to Aston Villa 2-2. VAR took a goal away from them this past weekend. They haven't had a lot of good luck with VAR recently.
Uh-huh.
Man United, they lost again to Brighton this time. Ben's feedback is Man United are very shit. That's all he has written.
Okay, well, I don't disagree.
Not just wrong. Shit,
Flex,
very...
you got a problem with that, though, hey? He's just quiet. He wants nothing to do with it. He's not sure if he wants people to know he's a Man United fan.
Well, Liverpool now lead the log by 6 points with a game in hand. So all signs are pointing to a Premier League win for Liverpool. That's all I'm saying. And maybe a Champions League win. I'm not sure yet. We'll see.
Okay.
There was also rugby this weekend, Investec Champions Cup. The Sharks got thrashed 12-66 by Bordeaux. The Bulls hammered Stade France 48-7, and the Stormers lost to Racing 31-22. They didn't lose 92. The team they played was Racing 92. The score was 31-22.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers there for a moment.
Just had to clarify. All three teams failed to progress to the knockout stages, but will now compete in the secondary cup. The EPCR Challenge Cup, which,
that
if you
horrible.
Remember, is Ben's acronym cup from
this
last year.
This is rugby, right?
This is rugby. That was the Investec Champions Cup.
I'm so confused. Aren't we? I mean, I know it's the Springboks who are the champions, But do the Springboks play in these other teams as well?
No, yes, no.
Some of them do.
What, oh, do you mean they do they play
the actual players? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they play a lot of the Springboks play for the Sharks.
Why were we so shit?
Yeah, look, the Springbok setup is a different beast. I think. Yeah. I think that's just a whole different setup on its own.
Well-oiled machine. Yeah,
from grassroots. Speaking of not well-oiled machines, cricket happened this weekend. We all love cricket. I know that, so I'm going to make this real easy for us. MI Cape Town recorded an important win against the Joburg Super Kings to move top of the table. The big winners on the weekend were the Paarl Royals, who chased down 213 to beat the Pretoria Capitals. That's it for the cricket. Yeah, I know.
You did it.
I did. The playoffs, those start on the 4th of February. And then lastly, the UFC happened this weekend. Islam Makhachev, and I can't say this guy's name still, even though I've tried to practice it. Same guy from Friday, Mareb Dvalov.
I don't think you've practiced it or tried.
I think this is a very poor show. But then you do have your lungs to worry about, so who knows?
You managed two syllables.
Unbelievable.
Basically, those two guys, they won and defended their title in the bantamweight and the lightweight classes at UFC 311.
Yeah, so Bitcoin Bot says UFC was lacking a main event, was unfortunately a last-minute change, and it was inevitable that it was going to end early.
We have Drakus fighting next month.
Yes, that's a big deal. Oh, and then Kala wants to talk about the Calabash concert yesterday, which was great. I saw that Warris was there, but I would have loved to have gone to that. It was just too last minute. Someone offered me tickets on like Friday night. And
would you really have?
I think I would have. Hey, I mean, I don't like a crowd, you know that. But it was what Green Day, Offspring, Folk of Pelicicar. Yeah, so it was a good lineup.
Which one of those suited your fancy?
I always liked the Offspring. I know a lot of their songs. I know the lyrics kind of by heart.
Yeah,
and Green Day as well. I mean, yeah. I think I could call myself a fan of those.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you would have liked it too.
Mm.
Robbie Williams is doing the Cape Town leg of it. If
yes.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
But he's meant to be coming here as well. You're not a fan of Robbie Williams?
No, don't like his music at all.
Did you see he had a biography movie made?
Yeah.
Where he's
a biopic.
He's a CGI monkey though.
Yeah, well, that's about right.
And apparently it bombed heavily. So they'd spent like $110 million as a budget for the whole film. And it only made like $4 million on the first weekend or something ridiculous.
I saw him being interviewed about that. And he does have a facial structure that resembles a monkey.
It's kind of weird, actually, yeah.
Well, okay. That's not what I don't. When I see, I pretty much see every other human being as being an ape of some kind because we kind of are.
We kind of are.
But Robbie Williams, not especially ape-like.
Even his top lip.
You reckon?
Yeah, the indentation. Okay. There's something about it.
Novel.
Plastic surgery.
Maybe.
He's an incredible showman, says Conga Chris. I would recommend his concerts highly. Okay, well, yes. I mean, we did grow up, Lee says in the comments, with Offspring and Green Day.
I did go to his concert. In fact, I met him at his, they have those pre-press release, press conference things. And at that stage of his career, he was notorious for having a line of girls come and go to his hotel room.
Yeah, well, why not?
Yeah.
What else are they going to do? Be on TikTok?
And I know one of the girls who went in that queue.
Of course you did. She was a good friend of yours, right?
She was actually more a friend of yours than mine.
Oh. You must tell me which one after the show.
I will.
That's exciting. So she and Robbie got acquainted.
I reckon.
Okay, good. Yeah. If you're a rock star, what else? What are you going to do? He was growing vegetables for aliens at some point, wasn't he?
I didn't criticize him.
Yeah. He was big into aliens, Robbie Williams. I remember there was something about that. But I remember I met him because I introduced him. I brought him on stage at the Durban leg of his tour that he was last here for. So, I mean, I can't say we spoke for a long time, but I got to meet him. He seemed quite friendly, fun, a happy guy. I mean, you got to be if you get out of Take That. the world just gets better. But yeah, he's coming here soon. I don't know if there are any... this is a tough one because I always like it when I'm at the concert. But the getting there and the getting out always makes me really unhappy. So, you know, I once hired a helicopter to take me to the Bieber concert.
Yes.
And then we were meant to go to the meet and greet.
Yeah.
And I was late. So they went past me in a golf cart as I came in.
Oh.
I was like, okay, well, that's fine.
That was your meet.
I watched the concert, but it was nice to arrive in a helicopter. Yes. That was the best part.
Actually, that was one of the most difficult concerts to get out of. Yeah. I was in a car.
Right.
Trying peasant. To get out.
You peasant. Wow. In your car.
And I was
I think VIP I flew over parking. You at some point.
Wow. Yeah, you must have.
Yeah.
In the traffic.
I think I waved at you, but you were very cross. You went, I could see you from your car window in the dark. I think we shone our lights right on your car.
I enjoyed that concert.
Who was the most like iconic
oh, dude,
performer
I don't know.
You guys
can I tell you something? I
Michael have, Jackson.
I've been oh, so lucky sure. to go to so many of these shows, but there's some that I missed that I wish I'd been around for, either because I'm, you know, was born too late or because for some reason I wasn't around or I didn't go or whatever the reason was. And there's something about a live show that's completely different to anything that you can do listening on your own. And I love to listen to music on my own. I'm very happy to do that. But man, some of these shows have been absolutely fun every step of the way. And it's always the ones that you least expect. I remember I was blown away by Dionne Warwick, of all things.
Amazing singer.
She's a look at how confused James is. He's like, who the fuck's
that's,
that?
Whitney's aunt.
She's still alive. And Whitney Houston has, I mean, she had probably the greatest voice of any woman that's ever lived.
Good pipes.
But Dionne Warwick is a spectacular performer. And I mean, she was already probably in her early 70s by the time I saw her. But she went and changed outfits like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
She sang the songs. Her voice is different now. It's like a little more croaky, a little older, a little less strong than it used to be. But man, can that woman sing. So, you know, it's ones like that that you see. I remember people are talking about Roxette. People are talking about The Killers. We saw Metallica, and I've seen Jay's, I saw Ja Rule, which was also very cool.
Ja Rule.
Remember the Ja Rule concert? Jamiroquai. Someone was killed in the parking lot at the Ja Rule concert.
I remember I was very, very afraid driving into that concert. I opened the window about this big and said to the parking guy, who was directing everyone, and I went, VIP, and rolled the window back up.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I was leaving that concert, people were rocking my car and bashing into their bodies into my car. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, it was fun though. What a great show. Part of the fun, Leanne, is you never know what's going to happen in the parking lot afterwards.
Linkin Park
was great too. Lady Gaga was good. Lee says, I would have loved to see Queen and Pink Floyd. Queen did Sun City once. I would have loved to have seen Tina Turner as well. That would have been quite something. She's just awesome. I think I spoke about this on the show the other day, that she just pitched up at some après-ski place and started performing. And she's like almost 90, I think. Sure. Can you imagine that? You're getting drunk in the Alps and suddenly like Tina Turner. Oh, man. Foo Fighters in Melbourne was incredible. Phil Collins, Bruce Springsteen, U2. Linkin Park with their amazing new singer. Matt's going to see them at Wembley this year. Letlotlo says Michael Bublé. Really? Okay, all right. Johnny Clegg, Nickelback, Guns N' Roses. There are lots of them coming through now. You've opened up
a bunch.
You've opened up a smorgasbord of concerts that people want to go to.
Well, I just ask because there's like levels to these things. Some are iconic. Some are...
Who would you really want to see?
Who would I really want to see? I wish I could have seen Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure. I think I did.
I did too.
But it was in a history tour.
Yes.
And it was
I was very young. I was
We were
like preteen.
Yeah, I do remember him. Yeah, he was great. I mean, obviously, he's Michael Jackson. Like the crowd was more excited than any other crowd I've ever been.
Yeah.
I also remember seeing Toto at the Standard Bank Arena.
Oh, that's amazing.
I saw Aha just before COVID, and that was very cool.
I did see U2.
Yeah, I did. I think I saw them as well.
U2.
Bless Bridges was the shit, says Common Sense. Yes, of course. Rammstein, says Slippery Pickle. They were never here, though. How do I book Rammstein to do a fundraiser for the California wildfires? the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, I do think there's something like you can see a rapper. I know people who went to see Eminem. I missed that one. But you can go and see a rapper, and it's cool, and I love rap, but there's something about a rock concert. It's like, you know, that's a big deal. And I see some of these concerts that they've done in America where they've got like the whole orchestra there. That's an unbelievable thing. I've seen Billy Joel. I've seen Elton John. I mean, those are great concerts, right?
I saw Dr. Alban.
Oh, really?
That was my first
Dr.
concert.
Dr. Alban. Yeah.
Hello, Africa. Tell me how you're doing.
Yeah, there we go.
He changed outfits 3 times.
That's awesome.
But they were the same outfits, just in different colors. And there were sequin shorts and sequin vests.
Awesome. Yeah, okay. All right, get out of here, James. Okay. Now you've got us off on a tangent. You want to spend the whole Marabuntu. Check out. Make sure that there are no more ants on the microphones, will you? Yeah.
That was just one lone ant.
No, Leanne. It always starts with one. Before you know it, they're all over the whole studio and they're carrying you away.
It came from your side. I'm feeling itchy now.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know why I remember it, but it was so bad.
It's the most weird movie to remember.
So I'm gonna tell you how you can survive being buried alive.
Oh, I just got to take a breath there. It's very claustrophobic.
So if you wake up in a coffin.
It happens, people.
You must first take your shirt, put it over your...
Oh, yeah.
Your nose and mouth, because you're going to, once you break through the coffin, you're going to have
The sand
and dirt.
Oh, so you're thinking positively, like you'll be able to.
Oh, yeah, I'll get out. I'll get out. You've got to punch through the lid. Okay. It's going to take like lots of short punches. If you've ever watched Kill Bill, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Then you have to, like, because you have dirt, you must push it all to the feet of the coffin and then like lift yourself up.
But it's pretty deep, a coffin.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's like 6 foot, I think, down there.
Underground.
Anyway, you're going to do a bit of digging, but like that's how you survive the initial part of it. So you have to break through there and then you have to push all the dirt to the bottom, use that to kind of prop yourself up and then start pushing through the lid and then you'll have to dig. But it'll still be fairly easy because
it's fresh sand.
Yeah. You wouldn't have been like buried 2 weeks and then
it's
wake
not
up.
Compacted,
you know? So there's an. I thought that was important this morning.
But you must also, when your hands come out of
the ground,
you must go like.
Yeah, you must go like this, like a zombie would, so that you frighten people.
Yeah.
Especially if there happens to be like a grave digger nearby and he's busy with another grave. You must.
And also your nails might have grown because remember those carry on growing.
And there'll
be
lots of dirt under them.
Yes.
Yes.
You must make them.
But you must do that hand thing. Yeah, right.
What? Disfigured.
And you push the dirt upwards and out. You mustn't try and dig.
Swim through it.
Yeah, you must push it up.
Up.
Okay, so now you know.
Oh, I'm so glad, because when it happens later, I didn't know what I was going
to
do.
We're here to help. What can I tell you? All right, so let's go. Let's take a look at some of the things that are going on in the news quickly. There are a few stories that are worthy of our attention this morning. There was a woman called Nicole Paulino, who's a Maryland resident. She was mistakenly declared dead due to a social security number typo, which caused her health insurance to be canceled, left her unable to renew her driver's license or access necessary medication.
It's like being buried alive.
That's it. That's why they're linked, you see. The error was caused by a funeral home reporting the wrong number. It led to severe emotional and financial distress. After intervention, the Social Security Administration corrected the mistake, officially restoring her status as alive.
Jeez.
So it's not
Imagine not having anyone believe you.
Well, it's not so much being dead or alive. It's like all the shit that they just cancel straight away as soon as they find out that you're dead.
I'll tell you what, it's not like that here. I think we tried to cancel my aunt's Vodacom account for about a year.
Oh, the SABC is still going over after people who died 15 years ago. They are. Hi, have you paid your license?
Mm-hmm.
No, she's been dead since 2002. Okay, we'll call next week. Why? Because you think she might be alive again?
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, then I thought this was quite interesting too. Oh, look there. Oh, shame. Is that the woman? Shame, she's not dead. I mean, she's boring, but she's not dead. Right? Shame.
She's very upset.
Maybe she also lost her house in the California wildfires. That's bad, right?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Those pictures.
I know that you compared bigger buildings like shops that had been burned down versus not. I do have some photographs of the fires from AP showing houses that survived. So obviously that one on the left there surviving, not a very pretty house.
It's a hideous house.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm so glad it wasn't only me who thought that.
Oh, what an ugly house.
I was like, which one is, it looks damaged, but when I zoomed in, it wasn't damaged.
It's not damaged?
No.
It looks like it. Oh, shame. Look at that. Ugh.
Houses right next to each other.
Wow.
Where some had been saved. A lot of it was just due to luck.
So that one right at the top there, that's okay.
The one right at the top of the mountain overlooking all of that carnage. God.
Wow, that has got to suck. Imagine you get back and your neighbor's house is fine and you hate them. and your house is that's going to be so terrible.
This one struck me because he's there cleaning his driveway.
Yeah.
Look at his neighbor's car. His house is completely unharmed.
In fact, that guy on the right who's busy cleaning his driveway, he's very upset that neighbor's got a derelict car just sitting there.
How unsightly.
Makes his house look bad, you know? I mean, you can see he's quite fastidious and house proud. He's keeping his driveway clean and that fucker next door just has this burnt out car there. I mean, how rude.
You know, that smell, though, lasts.
Yeah, go
forever.
Back to the hood, guy on the left. You know, you're ruining the neighborhood property. The property prices are just going to drop to an all-time low because those people next door have a burnt out car in their driveway. Terrible.
Yeah, all the Karens.
Sure. Look at that. Okay, so we've got a picture here for those people listening to the podcast. It's basically you just got devastation everywhere. And there's one big house right in the front here that's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Sure. I wonder if those people feel bad.
Well,
you know, like survivor's remorse.
Wouldn't say that there's no damage because you've got the smell and you've got the ash.
Oh, that's true.
Those things last. I mean, again, I was had to evacuate a house because of a fire. And that stuff lingers. Wow.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine's kitchen burnt down last year. And he's had to replace almost everything because the smoke is, even though the rest of his house was mostly okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, you know?
So those houses might look
horrific.
Okay, but...
You know, we don't really have... Like, I know that these wildfires in California are a fairly regular occurrence. It's like in... Australia, they often have these fires, and everything in Australia is flammable. All their vegetation, right? They've got like eucalyptus trees, which basically...
But it is mainly just vegetation and wildlife.
Well, it's because there are only 25 Australians. And
they all live on the outside near the
sea. Exactly. So most of them are, you know, there's a great big fire, several thousand kilometers. And, you know, no one lives there. It's like the Free State. No, I mean...
Yeah. Yeah.
If the Free State had to burn down, we'd lose five houses.
Oh, my gosh. No people there, man.
But we don't really have severe natural disasters at that level. We don't really get cyclones, hurricanes, tornadoes.
Cape fires in the Cape and winelands that get destroyed.
That sometimes happens. We often have fires in Cape Town itself, Table Mountain often, you know, and a lot of these are set by people, which
floods.
Means they're not natural disasters. We get floods occasionally, but not on the level that, like, you remember when they had...
We wouldn't make international news necessarily
We don't have volcanoes either. You know, we don't have... big earthquakes, really. We have a couple small low-level earthquakes.
We just have people that fuck things up.
That's a big natural disaster.
Yes.
I'd say
people
that is our
nature,
that's
they?
Our real challenge, is the natural disaster of people who screw things up.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's a lot of noise, obviously, around today, which is going to be Trump's inauguration. It happens around lunchtime, American time, which means about 7 o'clock in the evening, South African time. I don't know.
So that rally with him, with the village people, would have been what, last night?
Last night.
There, last night.
Yeah, American last night.
Yeah.
And I think Elon made an appearance on stage, said he is going to help make society better so that we can figure out a way to get off this planet eventually. So he wants to solve some of our problems for now, but he said if we want to survive as a species for another 1,000 years, we're going to have to find other planets to live on. We're not. This one's not going to last. The sun is eventually going to consume us. I mean, that's in millions of years.
Do you think he thinks like that? Do you think Trump thinks that too? Isn't he? He doesn't believe in global warming, does he?
No, I don't know. He said, "We don't know everything. We're going to have to find out some more," which is probably the sensible position to take. I don't know, but I don't think that the world has suddenly become more dangerous because of him. And a lot of people who are talking about these California wildfires, including people on the left who are very big on climate change, they try to put all the blame there. Now, there's nothing humans can do. There's certainly nothing American, Californian humans can do to prevent global warming because they're already responsible for a very, very tiny percentage of like carbon emissions, if that's what they tell us is the problem, right? And China is opening up new power plants every other day. And you're not going to get laws made in America that are going to force China to stop doing that or India.
Yeah.
So what you've got to do is deal with what you've got. And the countries that are the biggest like climate change activists are the ones that have so little effect on it anyway, that it's not going to help if they reduce their emissions to zero.
Mm.
It's not going to make a difference. It'll raise temperatures by like 0.3 degrees in 100 years. That's what it'll do.
Yeah.
And frankly, there are a lot of scientists who are saying now, and you've got to be able to pay attention to this stuff because you're not a climate change denier if you say, let's look at what else is going on. Apparently, this is a good time for plants. Plants love carbon dioxide. Plants are, these levels of CO2, these levels of CO2 are the lowest levels of CO2 if you take historical time and you look at like the last ice age. You can do these ice cores that they've done through, you know, several million years of history, and you'll be able to see when certain gases were more prominent in the atmosphere and when certain ones weren't. And obviously around the time of the dinosaurs, there was way more CO2 in the air, and everywhere was like jungle. And it needed to be because these enormous animals that obviously evolved because there was enough vegetation for them to eat.
Yeah.
These animals were roaming the planet bigger than any other animals that have ever lived. And they only could exist at that size because of the amount of vegetation that they were eating. I mean, imagine the poo of a brontosaurus.
Very spinagey and long.
Very, but also very, like, enormous, right? Because these things would just eat tons and tons of vegetation a day.
Yeah. I mean, now, you think of how much an elephant eats.
We are worried about, you know, too much CO2 in the atmosphere, but frankly, there are parts of the world that are greener than they've ever been right now. And it's not just because of CO2, it's because of reforestation. People are planting trees, people are looking after places. I know we're all worried about the Amazon, I am too, but there are parts of the earth that have never been this green, not in human history. And we've also got to realize, like, we can't actually control everything. There are a lot of people in the world who think that we can change everything, that we're able to.
And that everything's our fault.
Everything's our fault, but that, you know, we can fight nature. Mm. And like, actually, you can't. And there are things that are going to happen, like wildfires in California, that may or may not have been, and certainly there were arsonists lighting fires as well.
Yes.
But once those things start, there's very little that humans can actually do. They could be better organized. They could have had more water. I heard fire hydrants were empty, all of that stuff. But there's very little humans can do in the face of overwhelming natural disasters. And the word natural is kind of important here because nature is in control of those things, whether it's flooding or it's wildfires or it's earthquakes or whatever else. And humans, with all our technological know-how, are pretty much powerless in the face of an earthquake.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. California, I remember when I was a kid, we heard about the San Andreas Fault.
Yes.
You remember this? And it's never gone away. It's always been a thing. That at some point,
when we first heard about it, we were like, why do people live there?
Right.
Why on earth would you visit?
And the San Andreas Fault is still a thing.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about this terrible made-for-TV movie about the killer ants.
Yes.
Marabunta or whatever it was. Okay. There are also horrible made-for-TV movies about the San Andreas Fault opening up.
Absolutely.
I've seen some of these because they're hilarious. They're really badly made. The CGI is terrible. But it's worth watching because you laugh more than like get caught up in the action. And the San Andreas Fault is a major fault line that will eventually open up. It might take 100 years, it might take 1 million years. We don't know. But humans, we occupy a tiny little piece of the entire space of the Earth, right? Most of it we can't live on because it's water. And then other parts of it are uninhabitable. They're either too cold or too hot, or there's too much dense forest, or there's ice, or there's whatever. We can't live in those conditions. We're not built for it. So we think because we've managed to terraform and landscape our gardens or plant farms in the desert, we think that we can do anything. There's a lot that we can't do.
No, exactly.
We've got to be a little bit more humble about these things and look out for Marabunta, killer ants, all right? Because they're going to take you away one night. That's my biggest fear, Leanne. I sometimes come in here in the morning, and when you walk in, I'm like, she didn't get taken by the ants.
Listen, if I was taken by ants, I'd be flattered. If they could move me, I'd be flattered.
I think it's so great.
I would tell everybody.
Oh, man. All right. So there are a lot of people talking about one of the things with the LA fires is that the LA fire chief is a lesbian. And
right,
her emphasis as fire chief has been diversity and equity and inclusion, DEI. And one of, I think her deputy, who's also,
what does
big,
that have to do with,
she's also a big
fires?
Lesbian. You would think it doesn't matter, but in LA it does, right? So her deputy's also a big lesbian,
okay.
But the fire chief's a white big lesbian. The deputy fire chief is a black big lesbian,
right.
And the black big lesbian deputy fire chief, when she was asked what you couldn't carry a grown man out of a fire, she said, well, if he finds himself in a situation where I have to drag him out, he's in the wrong place.
What?
Yeah. We're like, guys.
These people are putting inclusion over fighting fires.
Yes. Yes. And then she said, you know what's very important? So that's the mayor on the right, and that's the fire chief, the lesbian fire chief on the, yes, on the left. I mean, I think she could carry me out of a fire, but that's just me. Karen Bass, the mayor, standing on the right there.
Still tight-lipped.
She was in Ghana when the fires
that's
broke
right
out. She was there for an inauguration. She apparently thinks she's a, I don't know, fucking diplomat or something. But useless. Useless, useless mayor. And the funny thing about that deputy fire chief is that she said it's really important when you call the fire department, she says, that someone who looks like you comes to save you.
I don't care.
Look it up. Okay. I'm not making this up.
I do kind of care what they look like.
This was maybe in a video. It's in a video that she released.
That's so
okay
bad.
She says, I think it's really important that, you know, people feel when they call the fire department because they've got a fire, that whoever pitches up looks like her. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn. When I call emergency services for anything, and it hasn't, thank God, happened that many times in my life, but if I had to call them, I don't care whether you're old, young, black, white, male, female.
Fat, thin.
It doesn't interest me. As long as you can do what I need you to do,
yeah,
in that emergency, right? And it seems bizarre to me that the emphasis was put on this stuff.
It's absolutely bizarre. The only time it's okay to want a fire person to look some way is if he appears at your house topless, wearing braces.
Like a gorillagram, like a, to sing a birthday song.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, but that's a stripper, Leanne. You know those are not real fire. I know that this might.
Lord Jesus is a fire.
I know this is going to upset you, but those aren't actually real firemen. Those are strippers pretending to be firemen.
Wasn't there?
It's
was
like the
incident.
LA fire chief. She's not really a fireman. She's a lesbian activist pretending to be a fireman.
There was an incident, man, a gathering, and there was a surprise appearance of. Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. It's from her own life. Wait, she's just remembered.
No, it was in the news.
What happened?
There were a whole lot of people in a closed space for some big event, but it was like a stripper's event.
Oh.
And then there was a real fire, and yeah, firemen rushed in, and everyone thought they were the strippers. So they didn't run out. They just started cheering and clapping and woo! And the firemen were like, get the fuck out.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
That was it.
All right. Very, very good. That's all we got time for this morning, I'm afraid. And enjoy your inauguration day. If you're a Trump supporter, then you'll have a fun day. Maybe watch it with some friends.
You've got a red, white, and blue mug.
Yeah, but that's about all I got. I should have worn my Make America Great Again hat. However, I was invited to a viewing party tonight. I can't go. I'm going to be on a CakeNet show with Lorenza Eckhart tonight talking about
look at that.
Trump's return to power. So, yeah, I make a small, quiet return to TV for about, I don't know, 15 minutes or however long the segment is that I'm on. So that's what I'm doing. And then we're back on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. So enjoy your day, everybody. Have a happy week and be as productive as possible. And don't worry about the stupid stuff, like Dr. Hanan said this morning. And we're going to get him in here and he can sit on the sofa with us and talk for a whole day.
And if you do worry about something, it's because you value it, which is a good thing.
Yeah. But also he did say, careful where you put your focus. He is telling his patients, and we will spread this message for him because it's good advice. You've got to build your own firewall to keep out the crap. And that's going to be my theme for the year. Right, let's get going. We will see you on Wednesday.